This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
This is Race Wars.
Race Wars.
I have the power.
Yeah. How's it feel?
With Kurt Metzger.
You're out of your fucking mind, dude.
And Sherrod Small.
Settle down, bitch.
Race Wars.
Race Wars in the building. We started off fresh in races, ain't we? DeVito's in the building. Say hi,
baby. Hi. What's going on, guys?
Introduce you. First time you're on the show.
First time.
Introduce yourself to people.
My name is Kirk Smith, and I tell jokes from time to time.
That's a perfect white name, ain't it, Kurt Smith?
Yeah, it's like a fake name.
It's so fake.
It is, but the twist is I grew up in Ecuador and El Salvador. That's the weird part.
Oh, my Race Wars bells went off.
Nice.
What? Where did you grow up?
Ecuador and El Salvador. 80s was El Salvador. I'm a little older than I look. And then after that was Ecuador, and then I moved to the States to go to college. Yep.
Are you a narco? Who grows up there?
Close. Missionaries. Yeah, my parents are missionaries.
Your parents are missionaries?
Yep.
You look as white as this. Your parents look white as you?
I am as white as them. Yeah, I'm from them.
I know, but so in all y'all white faces, you grew up down there.
That's it.
And y'all was like, what, 2 feet taller than everybody in the fucking village?
About 6 inches, yeah. Funny thing about in Ecuador, you know, they call white people colored in Ecuador, called colorado, because you have no color. It's yeah. True. That's how they do it. Yeah.
But white is actually, black is the absence of color. That's how dumb races are.
I don't know.
That's the absence of color. White is all the colors. Roy G.
That's
Biv,
true.
All together.
Yep. That's true.
Which doesn't seem to make sense, because if you mix paint, it comes
out white.
Yeah.
Right. But light is different than paint. Light dances.
True, yeah.
Light dances.
True. Spectrum.
Yeah, if you put it through the little prism, though, yeah, it comes out white if you do them all, yeah.
Yeah. When you put it in the prism, then it's black.
That's
big. Is that what he said?
One little letter difference.
So, wait, your parents were missionaries?
Yeah, still there. They'll die there. My dad loves
wait
Ecuador.
Wait.
And my mom loves my dad.
Wait, so your parents moved down to Ecuador when?
El Salvador first.
El Salvador, 79.
Yeah.
Just from where? Where did they move from?
NorCal.
So there was a Northern California.
Mm-hmm.
And they belong to this church.
Mm-hmm.
And what? How many wives your father got? Five.
Is it Latter-day Saints?
No, just like Holy Rollers. Yeah, like wow. Evangelical.
Are they the same people who stole Hawaii from the Hawaiians, motherfucker? I know how the white man is. That's
I don't know my history. I don't
yeah,
know
Yeah, that's how they got it. Fucking missionaries came down there and said, why can't we just run this?
See?
That's what God wanted us to come down here
you
and
know,
run it.
You know, you bring God to some people, you think you get a little gratitude.
Oh, the white man is the devil. So, okay,
so
your parents.
I think I've heard that bit.
You got brothers and sisters, too?
Yeah, I got two brothers and a sister, yeah.
So, yeah, that's a thick religious family.
Yeah, you'd want to have a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
Are they more of your temperament or more on your family?
I've got one brother who's like a pastor, and then I've got a brother who's a stockbroker, and then I got sisters a nurse, and then I tell jokes to drunk strangers.
Any of them still in South America?
My one brother,
the pastor.
A pastor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he stayed local.
He runs a project in the slums, like deep in the slums of
Guayaquil. He's the better brother. He's the sibling who is doing right.
Yeah, he's the good one.
You out here telling jokes, you fucking asshole.
I know.
So they out here saving people.
How do you think Thanksgiving is? I know, buddy.
That's cool.
I hate him.
I know.
Because if you look at the resumes, they could take the loss on you.
Yeah.
That's it.
Like, you were a lost leader.
One
you were
kid
two.
Turned out. You sow a lot of seeds. Some fall on fertile ground. Some fall on rocky soil. It's biblical.
You got a nurse. You got a pastor. Then you got something like this. Hey, where are you guys from?
It's like a tax write-off.
Out of town. Yeah, that's right. That's someone's a lost leader. This guy.
So you grew up totally down there.
Uh-huh.
That's crazy.
I know.
So when you go to Northern California, do you feel like a stranger?
I did go to college out in Northern Cal.
So when you first went to college, did you feel like, what's this? Electricity.
Why are all these white people here? I think I told you I played basketball at Bethany University, this little Christian school in Santa Cruz. Yeah, it's great.
So Christianity is a big part of your life growing up. It seems
growing
like
up, it, for sure. Yeah, for sure.
It
man.
Dictated where you lived. It dictated what your pops was doing for a living.
Yeah. I mean, the school. This sounds, but I just wanted to play basketball, and that was like the one school that would let me play. I wasn't great, and
what
I let me walk
but
on.
Let's get back to El Salvador, and what's the other one?
Ecuador.
Yep, that's the two.
The double E's, baby.
Double E's. What was it like dating? You lost your virginity down there, apparently?
No, I waited till I got married.
Christians!
Wow.
Christians. Wow. I knew it! I can't take it, Joe! Joe, I can't take it on this show, Joe!
Are you a religious person now? Are you a believer? I guess we'll start with that.
I guess maybe I'm a believer.
He's definitely a believer. Yeah. So you stayed a virgin until you got married.
Yeah. I was like,
and who was this young lady? You still not married? You married to her now?
No, she passed away. I was married for like 18 years.
Nigga, wow. Is this a made-for-TV movie?
This guy's got a life.
What the fuck? No, what?
Yeah. When I think I met... So she died like 3 years ago. Yeah, when I met you the first time. So you and I met like 8 years ago too.
What?
I was married. Yeah, I live in the Bronx. I was married. Two
I
kids.
Remember. Right. Yeah, wait.
I don't usually lead with it when I meet people.
By the way, would this be a bad time to plug my upcoming dates?
You got a dead wife. When are you going to be next week? Slapstick where?
Wisecrackers and State College. Chucklehead. Anyway.
Your wife died 3 years ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I don't usually lead with it because it's an awkward thing to come off.
And you can at least make a t-shirt.
Right. It's helpful.
Well, it's on all my merch, of course.
Wow.
But wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Me too.
What was, like, what did you...
She took her own life, depression.
Oh, wow.
Nigga.
You asking these questions,
nigga.
If you'd done your research, you would have known not to ask me this.
Nigga, I can't Wikipedia this shit.
Yeah.
Can't Wikipedia this.
No, what? So he asked me, like, faith, like, I don't know, like, I still...
Holy
so
shit.
I'm not very, like, I'm never trying to convince anybody. I'm like, good luck in hell, figure it out. But I think there's something happening. I think there's some sort of I think there's definitely a creative force, some... Mm. I, in my opinion, something's out there that's undescribable, that's real, that's powerful.
It's called deep state.
I mean, if this is the pinnacle of creation, it's you and I, we're screwed because
I'm pretty much
I'm deeply flawed.
I think I'm perfect.
Well, you, of course. But
I did not know all that happened in your life. So you got two kids?
Yeah, one's disabled. You don't know me at all, I just realized. Wow.
Never. Could we turn this into a telethon for him?
I think we
is
have.
Is it too late?
What?
Wow. Yeah, man.
Nigga, you live the life. So you got two kids, one disabled.
No, but I'm white, so everything's been great.
I'm sure you still like you're still winning. You look like you're winning. Yeah. The motherfucker look like you're winning.
It's all still, facade.
Still better than you, Sherrod.
I'm sorry.
Still coming on top.
I can't get a house in that neighborhood.
Oh, that's funny. In the Bronx, you could live in the Bronx.
So you living up in the Bronx.
I was up in
the
Bronx.
Ecuador and fucking El Salvador.
I was back in L.A. 5 years. I just moved back to New York in October. Just finding the place. Right now I'm crashing out in Queens, but I'll figure it out.
Okay. Now, how long? So you started comedy in L.A.?
No, I started in Dallas. Like, I don't. I every year I count a little bit
when
shorter.
When were you
like,
in Dallas?
Yeah, I'm almost afraid to ask what you were doing in Dallas.
Chase
were you there?
San Diego?
Were you there for chemotherapy treatment?
Oh,
no, I had a corporate job back then. I had a corporate job for... I had a corporate job, then I had like a charity
here
job.
Here we go.
And then jump in here. Get this podcast.
I gotta
sad.
Let her know. I gotta here. Let Jocelyn know your whole life. First, introduce yourself to everybody.
Oh, hi, no. Jocelyn Chia, comedian.
Yes. Now, Jocelyn, we were talking about this motherfucker's life.
It's true.
For like 2 seconds, he grew up in El Salvador
and Ecuador.
Son of missionaries.
Look at his face, first of all. That's not the face you think about when you talk about those countries.
No, you let you grow up in Minnesota.
Thank you.
Good insight. Good
then
insight.
He
different
got,
Kirk Cousins, but that's a different guy. Okay.
He went to college, and then he came back to the Christian College at Northern Cal.
That's true, yeah.
Where his parents were originally from. Then he got married and whatever. I don't know where that happened.
Right after school. Graduated, finished school, got married, went to work at an orphanage.
Nigga. Yeah. Then started comedy.
No, I didn't start comedy till so then my son was diagnosed. My son's like severely disabled. So like when he was like
son is severely disabled. His wife killed herself 3 years ago.
That's true.
Wow.
Like, I mean,
that's
help
how
out.
He became a comedian. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, oh, stay, a little bit before that. A little bit before that. But yeah. Well, the disability gave me a big push. My
what orphanage disabled. You worked at? A white orphanage?
No, in Romania there was like
sound white
oh,
to me.
That's, no, Romania's a bad one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the '90s, it was really bad.
I mean, they got a couple gymnasts that came out of it, though, right?
Nadia Comaneci, right?
I'm Comaneci for perfect 10 in 1974.
Not
you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Well, Ceausescu
Nadia.
Ran this like weird thing where women had to have 8 kids or they were taxed. And then when he fell in 89, the whole country like collapsed. And then a bunch of parents like kicked kids out because everybody had like 6 kids and no food.
Wow.
So they had like a real...
This
problem.
Was Romania in the
Romania,
80s? 90s. Yeah. Early 90s or late
90s? I got there. So he fell in 89, but 89 to like... 2000. It was bad. I got there in 96, right after school, right after college.
Wow. And that was like more white faces, first of all.
It's a kind of a Romanian.
They're
a
Slavic.
Kind of,
they're a Slav. You know they're
well,
a Slav.
Well, Slav, but they're also Dacia, which is like...
Yeah, that's gypsies in my neighborhood.
Yeah, there's like gypsies. It's like,
Yeah.
So there's like, it's a kind of a... I mean, it's kind of... I don't know. It's all a facade. The race thing's all... It doesn't matter, but it's... Depends who you ask.
Right. So you went there in the late 90s.
96. Yeah, yeah. We worked at this orphanage downtown.
How bad was it? Was kids eating kids?
No, but kids would like live in the sewer because it was cold. It's like a cold country. So like the sewers are heated. So people call in the sewers and live down in the sewers
glue. The sewers are heated or just warmer?
It's warmer because...
Because heated means like they say, hey, some heat down here, a couple futons in the sewer. Why not?
Not heated, but like it's warmer the water's outside. Warm, so the pipes are warm. So it'll be like... 60 and
right,
it's like
right,
zero outside, yeah, so you're not gonna freeze to death.
So they used to go down there and live down there,
and then huff glue. It's like it's on 60 Minutes. It's like a big thing.
Yeah, if you guys don't know about the Romanian orphanages, that's where a lot of psychologists found out that you can feed a baby and take care of their material needs, but if you don't show love and attention,
right, you have to hug them.
The person, the child,
you have to physically touch them and hug them. You have to physically interact with them.
That's why they've been very hard to place those children.
Yeah, and a lot of them because they went through that, even when they're adopted and they like look normal and whatever, they have like a litany of issues the rest of their life. Honestly, it's a really sad deal.
Yeah, but they're not touched and hugged as children. That's what Jeffrey Epstein was trying to say.
Well, Sherrod,
welcome back, bitches.
Sherrod, the good news is these were still white babies. So
I was smiling the whole time he told the story.
These are white babies. These are white babies.
You ain't see me high five myself? If any baby deserve it, it's going to be.
Yeah.
Come on, Hitler was a white baby, guys. I mean, what do you want from me?
That's funny.
Jocelyn, anything? You got a dead spouse or something? What you got?
Dead spouse.
What you got going on?
Grief.
A couple. I murdered them all. No, single. Single my whole life. Never divorced.
You grew up where?
Singapore.
Single. Here we go. My race wars bells are ringing. Now, we're in Singapore. What are we talking? In the city or in the outback?
So Singapore is really small. It's tiny. Just one city.
But it's a couple islands, ain't it?
I guess there are tiny little islands around that you go for like a fishing trip, but it's not.
Okay, but you were in a mainland situation.
Mainland situation.
And you grew up there, or?
I grew up there. I was born in America, Boston.
And then you went there?
At 6 weeks old. Yeah, my
parents were trying to punish you?
Yeah, like, let's cane this baby.
Yeah. I didn't know you could be president.
That's what people always say. You guys are very optimistic. That's what every American says.
That you could be president because you were born here?
Yeah,
that's all it takes.
Yeah.
Oh, Bernie Sanders. So you were born here, and then your parents said, why did they move back? For work?
So my dad was just here for his master's. He went to MIT, and my mom followed him as well. And they were actually married for 7 years, no kids.
Wait, MIT? Nerds.
Nerds, yeah.
Why didn't nobody throw nerds at our parents for that?
Because they're Asian?
Yeah, you expected it.
I mean, he's just embarrassed he didn't go to Harvard, so.
I know he can't be happy with this comedy situation that you're...
You know, my dad's surprisingly supportive, but my mom, she is very upset.
I
filmed my Comedy Central, and she and my dad drove up to see me, and on the way back in the car, she turns around and she goes, hey, is it too late to go back to becoming a lawyer?
That's an Asian mom for you. I grew up with an Asian mom in the house, so I know they rough.
You grew up with an Asian mom in the house?
Yeah, don't question it. don't you do that. Don't you break up a happy family. All right, so your parents moved back to Singapore after your father graduated?
Yes, correct.
Okay.
So they were childless for 7 years of marriage. But when they were in America, they were only here for 12 months. So they had like 3 months to get the job done, to get my mom impregnated.
It can be done in 3 months.
She an anchor baby.
I'm an anchor baby.
Was that really part of the plan?
Part of the plan, yeah. So they were childless. But when they were here, they decided, why not get an American baby since we're here?
Yeah. And they went down to Nordstrom's and picked up one.
And then she became a comedian. So they're like, fuck this American baby.
Yeah, right?
Something in the water.
Yeah, something in the water. So you grew up in Singapore.
Yeah.
Like you went to high school and shit there.
High school and all that. College here, though. College here. Indiana.
In Indiana?
In Indiana, yeah. You want more race talk?
Oh, you know I do. What they call you out there?
They call me chink.
Yeah, they did, bitch. Yeah, they did. They're an evil people. they went at you out there? So, wait, first... Singapore, you went to high school, went to like prom and shit. Y'all got prom in Singapore?
Oh, prom was so lame though. You went as a group. You didn't even have a date.
Oh, you have to go stag. Everybody went stag.
You went with your class. Like my prom dates were 10 girls and 11 guys. We just all went together.
Sounds like a great website, by the way.
10 girls and 11 guys.
All Asian, we talking? Yikes!
Yikes!
Asianprom.net.
It took a little while, but you got your creep out of it. We waited for you. You got it out. I'm proud of you. So after you graduated, you was like, I'm fucking out of here.
You know, at 21, I had to choose between American and Singapore citizenship. So my dad was like, well, you should live in America for a bit. So he sent me over for college so I could figure out which country I wanted to choose.
And why, how'd you end up in Indiana?
Oh my God, because I suck at life choices.
Welcome home. Wait, why? Why do you?
Seriously, though, Indiana's not a great choice.
And it's I know.
People in Indiana, it's not.
I think I just didn't know any better. I was like, it's America. It's going to be great. And
it sounds pretty American, though, Indiana. Yeah, but how
you? I mean, Indiana Jones. I grew up watching Indiana Jones.
That's
I thought
right.
it'd be cool.
And you saw half, what's his name? Half, what's the little Asian kid who was in Indiana Jones movie?
Oh, yeah.
Half short something.
Short round.
Short round.
Short round, baby.
That's funny.
So like, I needed you.
I saw more cows than people there.
Really?
Well, let me ask you. I've noticed with a lot of people who are not from America that they don't really understand just how big this country is.
Oh, yeah. My God, it's humongous.
Did you find that was the case?
Yeah. I mean, this is the... And every state has a slightly... It's almost like a different country.
Yeah. 50 countries.
It's a republic.
Yeah, 50 countries, correct. Yeah. It's almost like Europe, but you guys have a national identity.
Mm. Yeah.
I always tell people, this is not America. This is New York.
Right.
And it's great, but this is not America.
Like, it's not all part,
If you think this is what the rest of the country... This is not what the rest of the country
is. Not even close. Yeah. This is not even what fucking 15 miles from here.
Yeah, exactly. Just cross a bridge. you should have to show a passport.
It's animals over that bridge.
Well, actually, though, New York... How many people live in Singapore?
Singapore is about 5 or 6 million
now. Yeah, it's the size of New York. New York's what, 7 million or something?
Yeah, New York has like 8 million, I think. Yeah.
Now, have you done comedy in Singapore?
I have.
Here we go. What happened?
They have a fun scene there.
Is it more expats that come to those shows, or is it?
It's a mix. So when it's an expat scene, when it's an expat coming out to a show, it's the most fun show.
Because
Chinese people, they left, like, they cover their mouths and
yeah.
You know? So it's not fun. We always warn foreign comics coming in. All right, your A joke, they're used to getting an A left, or you'll get like a B left in Singapore.
Right.
Unless it's an expat crowd. Then their lives are so good there. Yeah. They have no worries, so they just let loose and have fun.
I can't wait to expat it somewhere.
Expat it somewhere.
Oh, I'm going to pick a nice expat situation.
That's good. When the police finally come for you.
Oh, they're going to come down on me. I'm going to go to El Salvador, Ecuador.
Don't go to either of those places.
I'm going to Double E's, maybe be a pastor.
And expats in Singapore get a lot of women.
I know they do.
You know they do, huh?
They come over there with that American dick.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. If only you folks could have seen that botched high five.
That was a good
beautiful.
Scene. That was a beautiful scene.
That was rough.
It's good.
Oh, so they're getting laid over there, are they?
A lot.
Yeah.
But here I get the reverse benefits, right? I'm like an expat here.
Yeah.
With the whole Asian.
Yeah. How many Jewish
thing?
Boys coming at you?
George boys?
Jewish.
Jewish. Oh, yeah. Jewish is my,
exactly.
my thing.
They circle you, motherfucker. They throw yarmulkes at you.
They really like the Asian girls, don't they?
They do. I don't know why Asian boys like Asian girls even more than your average white guy.
Yeah.
Any idea why?
Well, I think it's Italians. We really want black women, but we're afraid of what our parents will say. So,
so the next darker color.
Yeah, we stay in our lane as far as that goes. But from what I've heard, that the Americans who go over to Singapore, well, you know, as a white guy going to an Asian country, it's just imagine someone saying, "Oh my God, it's so white and huge." I don't think you really get that in the United States.
No, you won't get it here, stateside.
Now, let me ask you this. I've found that there are a lot of guys who think that if they hook up with an Asian girl, she's going to be some sort of submissive Asian dream that they have.
Right.
And every time I've seen those couples, the woman is bossing the guy around.
Yes, dominating him. Dominating.
Yeah, I mean, my sister's married to a white guy. He works. He cooks for her. He cleans. And then he sucks her dick, you know.
Yeah. Your sister got it made.
She got it made.
Holy shit. So you're going to marry a white dude too, ain't you?
Am I going to marry a white dude or Asian?
Yeah, I know you're not marrying an Asian dude. I don't see it.
You don't see it, really?
I don't see it.
Oh, really? You neither?
I don't see it.
Oh, wow. I mean, now I'm dating a black guy, but we're not
All right. Yeah, bitch.
High five
again.
Happy
Kwanzaa.
That's good.
Happy Kwanzaa, baby.
You can end the podcast there. Look how happy. He throws his mic down. See you later, guys.
Is it Jerome? I know the dude.
The number of black guys that hit on me now after I announced on stage that I'm seeing a black guy has really gone up exponentially.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
really,
you done with the brothers? All right.
Yeah.
After you're done with this motherfucker, hit me up.
It's only a matter of time.
That's nice.
Yeah, we blow it.
He's my first, too.
We blow it, is what you said.
Yep, we blow it.
When he ruins it, call me.
May he blow And then I'll blow it next. But make sure you blow me, too.
That's a line of blowing it. That's a...
Then back to Jewish boys.
Yeah. Did you feel like you had crossed, I don't want to say crossed a line, but that once you started dating outside your race, that you were now a different kind of person as far as dating goes?
You know, when, in Singapore, it was considered very cool to be dating a white guy by the other Asian girls.
Yeah.
Because they were rich, you know, they were our colonial master. So I think psychologically, subconsciously, we revere them. And then I come to America, I'm like, oh my God, white boys are like a dime a dozen if you're an Asian woman.
Yeah.
So, and we say, when I went to Indiana, my Asian guy friends would say, all right, if you're not a very pretty Asian girl, date a white guy. Because like a not very pretty Asian girl can get a white guy because they can't tell the difference between a pretty Asian girl.
Yeah, Asian is Asian.
And just an Asian girl,
Hilarious. Oh that's my God, funny. That's so funny.
That's funny.
Oh my God.
That's funny. But it's the same with white girls and Asian guys. That's like
funny. White girls?
A not so pretty white girl can get a really hot Asian guy.
Yeah. Well, that's why they say like a not so hot white girl can get a hotter black dude.
Oh yeah,
in some states.
Yeah. In some states.
Mostly southern.
When you, I know, sometimes you're like, is that your adopted son? Like he's like ripped and like yes. I'm like, what's happening here?
Well, when you look
adopt
at the,
this boy, what's happening here?
When you look at the data on online dating, the groups that are responded to the most, I think, is white women, and the two groups that get contacted the least are Asian men and black women.
I did read that,
yeah.
Where was that out?
It's from the data compiled by like OkCupid.
Oh, okay,
and those sites,
okay.
Which, you know, is someone I date interracially, but it's not like a big deal for me. And I tell
only
guys,
if you go home with them, it's a big
deal. Just look, at this point, my parents would be thrilled. I could bring home your black boyfriend. Like, all right, maybe he'll be on better insurance, right?
Oh, he'll blow you too.
But it's true. Like, I found that just being open to dating black women has expanded my dating possibilities because it's another group of people who are interested in dating.
I can't figure out dating. Like, I feel like I look like Hitler's wet dream, but like, white women don't mess with me.
Really?
Everything else more than white women.
Really?
Mm. Huh.
You think that's in your head, though?
I mean,
from growing up in South America?
I approach people. I cold approach, so I don't care.
Maybe that's because you're cold approaching white women.
Maybe, but I cold approach everybody, and I feel like other people are more receptive. White women are the least receptive. Yeah.
I
think
maybe
I remind them of their brother or their dad
or something.
You got
some Ted Bundy in your brows. You look, you could be an American psycho.
Fair enough. I'll take it.
You might try to chop a bitch with an axe or something from down the hall.
I'll take it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've dated a white woman ever.
Oh,
really?
Wow.
Well, that's they are the worst.
Well, there's no question about
that.
The
most annoying
still
people on earth.
My guy friend's dating a white woman for the first time as well. And he says, he's a white guy, And he said, the standards are so much higher for white women.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to take her on dates and shit.
you gotta take her places.
Maybe it's that. Maybe
unless he has a black dick. If you got a black dick, then that's us.
They just stay home all day. All day, every day.
But you never dated a white woman? That's weird to me.
I mean, I've like hooked up but never dated. Never. Mm-hmm. Uh-uh. And my wife was like half Sri Lankan, half Swedish. Like half, not a bunch of half.
That's good.
Sri Lankan and Swedish.
Like
that
Indian.
Very
I know Sri Lankan. Like, there's only so much left after that motherfucking tsunami took. I know everything, Jeff. For jokes. Just for jokes.
Yeah, I don't think ever.
But who was Swedish and her father?
Her dad was Sri Lankan. It was like the original. That was rare.
And her mother was Swedish?
Wow. Crazy.
That
rare.
Nigga had game.
Yeah.
His game was tsunami. game. That motherfucker had game, baby.
Together forever,
he destroyed her.
Years.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, the Vikings really fucked up at some point because a lot of their women are pairing up with the other races now.
The Vikings?
Yeah.
Because they got tired of the same old thing. And then while they men went out on longboats and got to taste everything. Got to have a taste of the Caribbean.
That's true.
They didn't.
A lot of their DNA showing up.
Yeah, for no reason.
A lot of Mongol DNA out there.
That's true. That's the biggest one, right?
Yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
The Mongols fucked their way around the world.
Yeah.
Well, one guy, basically.
Genghis Khan.
Genghis Khan. Friend says, he's Asian and he dated a gorgeous Swedish girl, but he says the secret is to get a Swedish girl because they're all so beautiful there, all the blonde hair, but she doesn't think she's hot.
Yeah.
So he totally
that's how Prague is too. Prague got a lot of hot bitches as meter maids. I'm like, bitch, I'll marry you. I'm like, this bitch is giving a ticket. What?
Give me a ticket.
Your feet should touch the ground. Well, carrying her.
Think of how beautiful Tiger Woods' wife was.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was a nanny.
Yeah.
She was no model.
She was a nanny.
That's the way they look over there.
That's the way they look.
Yeah, I wonder how
it depends if you're into that. I don't know.
That's all of it.
I went to Sweden, and it's true.
Stop it all up.
You see women just... I went to, you know, Clayton Fletcher, right?
Yeah.
He goes there quite a bit, and we were in like a 7-Eleven or something. There's a beautiful woman in front of us buying coffee. And when she turned around, he smiled at her, and she smiled and said, oh, hello. And he just looked at me and said, in New York, she wouldn't be able to leave her house.
Yeah.
People catcalling and phone numbers and shit. And here it's like, oh, everyone's so polite. It's like, oh, okay.
But behind doors, they're fucking dark people.
Well, they, they said that the dating market there, that they're so into equality of the sexes that men are afraid to approach.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So they're having some trouble with that. Now, what is dating like coming from Singapore?
That's what I got Syrians up there smashing all they want.
I did hear that in Sweden it's very about going Dutch.
But honestly, I've had this discussion with so many women. How does it make sense? I go out, this is going to get me a lot of hate mail. I date a girl who's a doctor and I'm a comedian. Why am I paying for your sandwich?
Yeah.
Mm. I don't get it. You're interviewing me. I'm interviewing you. I don't know you.
Right.
I don't get it.
Like if they make more money than
us?
Yeah. Well,
I know women hate this. But
status. Like, so you just have to date a meter mate. Then you can
make
a sandwich.
No, I usually make them pay. They have to pay their half. I'll pay for the first date. That's it. No, I don't get it. I don't feel like...
And that's why you don't date white women.
We figured
that out right away.
That's why. No, are we equal or are we not equal? Because I have a 22-year-old daughter. So I'm like, I teach her, like, you're equal, we're equal. So, like, everybody's equal.
Yes.
Well, then you pay for your own sandwich. What's happening here? You're a doctor.
Yeah.
Well, do you do food dates?
Yeah, but, like, after the first one, I split.
Yeah. I think it's so much about...
After the first date,
you
go Dutch?
Yeah.
So you working against the pussy, nigga?
Yeah.
It's like, how far away from your pussy can I get?
But you're successful,
I would
clearly
understand going Dutch on the first one, then the next one like this, let me take care of that. You like this, oh, he is nice. Blah, 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 blah.
No.
I just feel like we're equal, and I don't know, I feel like, and I guess, I mean, I've had this conversation with many women that I've dated, but it's like, are we equal or not equal? We're equal, right? Yes.
But courting and equality is two different things.
Yeah, but traditionally men courted and paid for everything because they made all the money. That's the only reason why.
But that's not really, because even in the times during caveman times, when they were getting the food, right, they were out hunting and everything, and women cook, it was still like part of that DNA to be the protector and provider.
Yeah, protect, provide, but not asking. Then you just take what you want. That's different.
But they also bring home the bison, right?
If I provide, and then I can just take whatever I want.
Oh, then you do that. Then you're paying for the sandwich.
Well,
because it's not, because you're not asking. Wow. There's no consent. That's a whole different conversation. We talk about cavemen.
But the women still pair up with the guy who's got the resources.
Yeah, correct. I think it comes under biology. Intellectually,
you can ask a woman about that, and that's what she'll say. But if you say to a woman, well, would you be comfortable dating a guy who makes less money than you, they start hemming and hawing because they don't want that.
Well, it's two different things, right? Because if you want to get really about it, is it about resources or about protection? Because like
that's
some women, right,
protecting
and so
providing.
Some women like the fact that just that you're tall or you're big, whatever, like you like check that. Certain boxes and you don't check other boxes. It's all a compromise.
How tall are you?
I'm like 6'2", 6'3".
Well, do you work that? You should mention that first thing in your profile if you're doing online dating.
No, and when you go up to a woman at a bar.
If they meet me in person, I'm like, fine. Nice to meet you.
Well, I don't know if you do online dating, but the reason I say this is because that's the number one thing that women discriminate against is height.
Yeah, that's so
interesting. Here comes Joe with his own personal
just
shit.
Saying, just saying. That's
how would these bitches say to you, Joe?
They'll just straight up say no one under 5'10".
But that's crazy because if you said nobody over 120 pounds,
you
people
get thrown
lose
off the
their
website.
Minds.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I should take that off my profile. And I said, no eyeballing. We ain't equal.
But the strange thing is, meeting women in person, my height has never been a problem.
Right.
Because in person, I.
Because your personality and everything shows. Yeah. Right.
I think a lot of women make their.
But you think they miss out on. You think women missing out because if they put under
5'10"?
Yeah.
They do.
I 100% think they miss out. Yeah, because how do you. Yeah. You could have your dream partner, but he's an inch too short.
Yeah, what if he's 5'9"?
Yeah. Mm. That's insane.
You like
I
that?
Think in this day, because in this day and age with the apps, you can afford to be so fucking picky that, yes, I do think you might end up missing on your dream guy. Because
okay, but I will add, you can't be so picky, but I don't think anybody argues that this is a nirvana of amazing connections. I feel like everybody argued dating's worse than it's ever been.
I agree. Yeah.
So
I gave up on the apps. I just
person. Yeah. You could set these parameters, but that doesn't guarantee happiness. That's for sure.
True.
Yeah, I don't use the apps.
I don't use the apps either.
I think I'm done. Every time I go back, they're worse.
To me, apps seem more like a fuck thing too. I wouldn't try to date. I would fuck people from an app, but like, hey, here's my parents, app person.
Yeah. But a lot of people have met them successfully, but they always say it's a numbers game. You know, my friends had Excel spreadsheets. Yeah. They rank the dates. Did he pay or not?
You would have fell right out of there.
See, you're not going on a date with a woman, a first date, and thinking, oh, did she notice that? Because they're noticing everything, and they're compiling their data because it's in their interest.
I know a lot of women, though, hot women, hot model women, who just use these apps and go on a date and just get meals every day.
You get the free food.
They go to great restaurants. I'll be like this. How's that restaurant? To have this motherfucker take you so I don't know. They just go.
I know, but you don't think that's using people?
Yeah, it is.
So that goes back to my point.
It is, but sometimes some people do it that way. Some people actually have to try to find a fucking mate. Right. So, but if you know the girl is extra hot.
I'm still not trying.
You're taking a risk.
Well, it's not fair.
I'm still not trying to feed
her. But you know, it's also not fair that women have to get our periods and give birth and get taxed on, and we get the pink tax, like all stuff is more expensive, right?
But life expectancy of men is shorter, suicide rates are higher, so it's not easy to be a person.
I read that. Exactly.
Well, it's not really bad that we're life expectancy is shorter because we get to share the planet with women, so see you when I see you.
That's why we die earlier.
You know what? I'd still rather be a guy. Even if I had to pay on dates, I'd still rather be a guy than a woman.
Yeah.
Like you having to, not that even that you have to, but you being a little obligated to like be the one to provide.
Yeah.
Is so much more acceptable than like all the burdens that comes with being a fucking
it's
woman.
It's such a different conversation to provide for somebody who you love and you enjoy versus a stranger who you're not even sure you like this girl.
And I think that's fair. For the first date, go for coffee.
I always do coffee.
Or
yogurt.
And you know, if
I
don't like the guy,
I do Vegas on the first date. I'm like, bitch, pack a bag, we out. Yeah. She's like, I barely know you. Get in the plane.
And you know what? If I don't like the guy, I wouldn't let him take me on an expensive date. I think it's very rude. Yeah, I'll take a drink, but I wouldn't if he asked me for dinner afterwards and I'm not thinking I'm interested, I would never take the dinner
but
date.
That's how nice people think.
Sure.
There's a lot of sharks and vultures out here in this dating game.
I think if you're dating a girl and you like her, then the rules are totally different. You pay, do whatever you want.
You're just talking about girls you don't know.
I don't know this girl.
That makes sense. No, then that's fair. I think first date is fair.
Why am I paying for you? Who are you?
But if you going on a date with her, there's something saying that you're interested in getting to know her.
Yeah, but I'm a man, so it could just be she's pretty. But it's like, that doesn't mean I want to pay.
But that can come along with a slice of pizza, you fucking ass.
Yeah. Think of the dollar pizza.
I know, but that's usually not what people
most good women ain't going to let you take it to the most expensive place right away, just like she said.
Yes and no. I think some women have their suggestions of places they want to eat at. Then they have ideas.
They get unrealistic.
Yeah.
But you know, I think you have to look at it that everything, if you look at it the right way, you never take a loss because you're learning at every step.
That's a good point.
So that
that's
if you say to the woman, and she says, I want to go here and I have to have that, you know, she's a cunt. So you know,
it's like, thank you. Check. Yeah. Check it on the thing. Let's keep it going.
So I look at it's like a cost of doing business.
I think you're right. You know, I think part of my problem is I don't have a lot of my buddy was making fun of me. I don't have any dating experience because I met a girl at 19. I was with her for 20 years. And then they release you back in the wild at 40-something.
And first of all,
wander around like an idiot.
That's 19 of some of the most Christian situations, too.
Yeah.
So it's not like 19 and you was fucking breakdancing in the Bronx.
That's true.
That you didn't
that's
just reactivate something.
Them niggas are dating.
Yeah.
You was like in a church. Yeah. How many times did you went to church a day, a week?
just a few.
Every day, church stuff?
No. Well, chapel, I guess so. 5 days a week.
5 days a
week? Oh, no, it's Sunday, too. 6 days.
You the only person look like you down there?
Down there, yeah. But I'm like,
that was 19 years of that?
Yeah.
And then you went to the niggas is like, hey, now it's time to date.
Yeah.
That's weird.
No, but I just think that you're not prepared for the fact that I feel like this girl's using me.
Yeah, because you don't know how to recognize it.
You don't recognize it. But I think that's a good point. Eventually you're like, oh, wait, I don't think she's
intimate. It's so interesting to talk to someone even more inept at this. I can take some solace in you're tall and you're fucking up, so I can enjoy that.
Just to be clear, Joe, being tall hasn't guaranteed me a life of happiness. If you lose anything, I've been over 6 foot for about 30 years, 35 years.
It ain't paying off.
It ain't a thing. All right. It hasn't helped me.
Well, tall and white doesn't pay off.
I get that she's depressed, but does she know that I'm 6'2 and a half?
Well, you
think he's fucking Christian Bale.
Oh my God.
We all look alike.
But in Asia, you really have to pay. Back to your question about what's dating like in Singapore, that one the guy pays. Like, oh my God, I got my keys made, and my boyfriend even took care of me getting my keys made because they're just so much about.
I just think it's case by case. I'm thinking specifically, I dated this girl who was an OBGYN, and I know she made three times what I make, and I've got a disabled kid, and I'm an artist. It's like, yeah, you can't pay for your own half of this stuff sometimes.
Man.
And you wanted to go to this place, and it wasn't pizza.
You are an albatross around a woman's neck with that resume. You better, my advice to you is try and cultivate an air of mystery. Because maybe get a fake mustache and a beret or something. Because the truth you're telling, that is pussy astringent by telling them that.
Astringent, yeah.
It is.
The worst part, as a comedian, it's like, you can Google it, it's like comes right up. Because I wrote kind of a best-selling book about it. So like, you Google me, that's the first hit.
Wow.
But do you
tell him you're an author.
What'd you write about? Your boy. Disability.
Finances. And so.
So when you go up to these white women.
Book, you can find out.
Do you sell merch on your dates? Do you have a merch table?
I'll pay for your dinner if you buy my book.
If you buy two books, I'll pay for dinner.
She got a free meal and a bumper sticker.
That's bloody
shit.
No, so it bothers me, you go to these women. When you go to these white women at bars, are you telling them you're a broke ass comedian and all that?
No, I don't open that. I'm just saying, yeah, in general.
Well, he's giving off that vibe like that. How much is that?
I don't know if I agree. I feel like I give off a vibe. People are always surprised at how crappy my life's been.
Yeah, I am.
You do have a privileged vibe. You're right.
I know. Yeah. I feel like it looks like my uncle's a senator.
You look like
not.
You're winning. You come off like you're winning.
Like I own a boat, but I don't.
Yeah. I think it shows you that if you're tall and white, you can wait out the hard times.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Or people are very racist and discriminating. That's the other lesson. People make assumptions that they're completely wrong. Yeah.
You just need to move to Asia. You'll be good there.
I lived in Singapore for a while. It wasn't for me.
You lived in Singapore for a while?
Yeah. Yeah. I ain't going to just bring that up. Oh, have mercy. You bad on Asian dates, too, nigga.
I was married at the time, so I wasn't dating. Oh, but, okay. I lived down by the Quay. I had a corporate job.
And wow.
Like, yeah, I was out there like, it was okay.
What did you do?
It's like a tax thing. It's incredibly boring. I'll put you guys to sleep by describing it.
Right. Tell women you do that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Think you have
it's
money?
A lie.
They won't. But now we're gonna bring that up, dude. What do you think makeup is? Okay. Tell them you do that, and it sounds like you have a lot of money, and it sounds boring, so they won't ask any more questions.
I know, but then they're like, "Why didn't you pay for all this? You have all this money."
And also, you want a relationship? Or you just want puss?
No. I'm a relationship guy. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Then he can start up with a lie.
Yeah, you can't start up a lie if you want a relationship. Yeah.
Well, it depends how long a relationship.
It's like a 6-day relationship.
Hey. Let me tell you something. Telling the truth has not gotten me very far either. So I think it's just the quality of the lie.
So what lies do you tell,
like
Joe?
It's like super cliche.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
He opens with, I'm 7 foot.
I'm 7 feet tall. I own Citibank.
One of these is a lie.
I really only have two things in my life that are like my secret.
Okay.
And one that I share at a certain point in a relationship, and the other one is not really anybody's business. But other than that,
I know both things. I never share
it is. Well, yeah. That's why I fucked you. I felt I could trust you. But to go back to paying for the dates, this is the way I look at it. That it's I'm expressing an interest in you.
Right.
And
right.
When it comes time to pay for it, I appreciate if they do that little alligator arm reach for the
perfect. Oh, you do appreciate the fake
I appreciate that. But if it was a good date, I'll say, how about you get the next one?
Yeah.
And that implies there will be a next one.
Yeah.
If it was a bad date, I figure this is the fee I paid to realize I don't want to see this person again.
Yeah, yeah.
So I learned from it.
Yeah. And you actually make her pay the second date?
You know what?
I didn't say make or pay. I said split.
I think I deal with that when we get to the second date.
Yeah.
But I've had women I appreciate.
Yeah, by that time, the Cosby's already kicked in. So you
you know, she's getting a little woozy, and I feel like I can do some work with her credit card. But I feel like for me, once I get to a second date, there's usually more dates. I feel like the biggest jump is from first date to ever seeing that person again.
Yeah.
So if I go on a second date with someone, we usually have a couple of dates.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of the whole paying thing in Sweden, because they're brought up to be so equal, girls have no problems going Dutch. So I don't know how much
almost
of it is nurture versus nature, like the innate biological need for the guy to be the provider.
You know what, though?
We were told.
In Sweden.
In Holland, too. Girls pay for shit all the time. They come pick you up.
But you know who does well in those countries?
Bring your weed.
American guys. Because we approach. Yeah. We approach
the
Scandinavian guys are timid now. I thought they were going to be a bunch of Vikings. They're a bunch of skinny jean man buns. I was like, you guys are weak.
Oh, they were not hot. I was so disappointed. I went to Sweden to find my Viking king.
Yeah.
And they were like these skinny jeans motherfuckers. Yeah. Who don't pay on dates. So I was like,
they're very Euro.
Shit.
Exactly. What do you need that for?
And emotionally unavailable?
That's all men. That's across the board.
Shots fired.
We'll be fieling questions.
That is universal. It's not cultural.
What was the longest relationship you were in?
9 months.
9 months?
9 months.
And the guy I'm seeing right now, it's been 6 months, but still not official.
Yeah.
I think that's New York. Part of it.
I think you are, dude.
Yeah. No, no, he's the one that doesn't make it official.
Oh.
Would you want to be his girlfriend?
I was open to it in the beginning, but he made it pretty clear that he was not into that. And also, he wants kids and I don't, so we don't even have a long-term future. So it's not like he was a non-committal guy. He was like, well, we don't have a future. I don't think it's fair if I like tied you down and kept you away from other guys.
You know what I do like?
He's
changed.
Exclusive, though, so...
Yeah, but so are you seeing, do you have license to see other people, but
you
don't?
I have license, but I haven't exercised it, correct.
Ah, you guys are dating. See, this is where it gets screwed, right?
I don't know. It's
usually the other way around, ain't it?
Which way?
No.
Like the dude's still out there and the girl's not?
I think that's changing.
Okay.
I think it really depends on the person.
Yeah.
I do think normally it's the girl is the guy who still wants to keep fucking around and the girl pushing for the commitment.
But right. A certain age.
That's what I feel What's like it's usually.
And I assume he did not want a commitment because he still wanted to get his dick wet. And then
it's fun getting your dick wet.
It's fun getting your dick wet.
Boy, it's one of the best things to do.
It is. That's why I want to be a fucking guy. I want to get my dick wet.
I need a dry dick. Everybody know that about me.
It is a chase.
I'm sick of this dry ass pussy. I want a wet dick.
I think we have a title.
I'm sick of this dry ass pussy.
Wet dick.
Well, wet dick.
Chronicles.
That goes back to talking about nature and nurture. Mm. That, you know, I mean, I think when I'm on here a lot, I start to sound like a bit of a nut when it comes to this stuff. But I learned more about dating in the past 3 years because I got red-pilled. And I learned,
what is
that? Red pill, you remember in the Matrix? You can take the blue pill, everything's fine the way it is. Yeah. Or you can take the red pill and learn the way it actually is. But it means that you learn that when it comes to the dynamics of men and women, it's none of this lovey-dovey romantic shit. It's a lot of it is men have to have high status if you want to be successful with women. Yeah. Women want the guy who's in charge. Yeah. There's different ways to do it,
right.
But you have to be able to provide excitement and resources. That's what women want.
Yeah.
And in return for that, they give you comfort and they pass on your genes. This is very basic stuff.
Yeah.
Now, there's different ways it manifests because we're so spoiled in modern life that you don't have to be a big, strong guy who can capture food and chase off enemies. You could be a guy who's a little twerp who makes a lot of money.
Yeah, some just chase off taxes.
But it could be the other
way, exactly.
Too. You could have no money and be 6'2 and still be fine.
Yeah,
you could. You could. It has shifted in that way. So, but yeah, but you. I think now, when I talk about it, it's not to slam women. I feel like I understand women more now than I ever did before.
Yeah.
Because I understand that women don't say what they mean, but watch what they do.
Oh yeah, that's what
and you'll
guy
understand.
Says.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
That's exactly what he
it's
said.
It's not an insult.
Who said that?
The guy I'm seeing right now.
Uh-huh.
He because at first he said that I was like, yeah, okay, that's fine if you don't want a relationship. And he said, but he didn't take me at my words because his mom taught him never listen to what a girl says.
Right.
Watch what she does.
That's
and
right.
In
exactly
my actions,
true.
It was pretty clear that I was not happy at the situation.
Yeah.
Not a committed thing.
Yeah. You'd be like this. It's fine. Stab.
Exactly.
What is it? Nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing.
Exactly. It's nothing. Oh, it's something.
I love when women say that. No, it's nothing. It's fine.
Yeah. As soon as I heard the word fine, I thought shit's hitting the fan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay. So you want a relationship.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you also wanted a relationship.
Only when I meet a guy I like, though. So my normal status quo is single and happy. And then when some guy comes along, I'm like, oh, I really like this guy. This is going well. Then that's when I'm like, oh, I could see this turning into a relationship. But I'm not, when I'm alone, I'm not actively looking for anything.
You know what I really like? This sounds crazy, but I dated a girl who froze her eggs. And because I'm older, so I'm dating, you know, women that are like at that point where they're ready to have kids.
Yeah.
So if they say they're frozen, that's great. Because otherwise, if she's 35 and I'm like, do you want kids? Yeah. She wants kids Tuesday. Like,
right.
She wants kids
.
Like today. And I just met you.
And you want
how old are you?
I'm 45.
45. Okay. I always forget because if you didn't have that little bit of gray coming on the side,
you
look like
you
look like maybe early 30s. What do you guys think?
Yeah, he's 6'2", white, and he looks early 30s. This guy has it all.
I have a painting in my closet that's melted.
Never look at it.
No, but I'm saying it's nice that it takes off. At least there's that available where they can freeze their eggs. And then it's like, okay, well, we can at least figure out if we're going to connect. Otherwise, it's like, that's scary when a woman's like, ready to have kids and you literally just met her like a month ago. You're like, what am I supposed to do here?
Like, I did consider the egg freezing thing. And I was like, $10,000? Oh my God.
It's a lot of money, but like some companies now pay for it, which is good. Because that's the one thing I think is hard about being a woman. You have like a window.
Yeah.
That's the one thing I think is actually harder. Because I can have kids when I'm 70. It's like,
I do envy guys for that. You can be 70 and still get a 30 year old woman.
That's the one thing that I think is starting
as long as you're rich.
That's such a heaven.
But you know what?
Who doesn't want to be a new dad at 75?
Oh my God. Because you know you're going to be cashing out pretty soon.
Yeah, let her take care of it.
That kid's going to kill you. Smoking you with a pillow. He's five. You can't help.
I was envying more that you can be 70 and still fuck a 30-year-old.
Yeah.
What's that?
You can be 70 and still fuck 30-year-olds if you are rich.
No, it's not
a money. No. I'll disagree with that. When I turned 50, suddenly young women were after me.
Really?
Yeah.
Because they thought you were rich.
Who the fuck looks at me and thinks I'm rich?
Well, if you get to survive to 50, that means you got some kind of resources. If you survived on Earth to 50,
I think that's true.
And it's got a nice shirt on, and got a nice pants. Like, look at this nigga.
But also, when you think about what our idea of a 50-year-old man used to be, you thought it was some old codger
put together.
Yeah, so I'm fighting it. And also, I think it's due to millennial age men in that age group. They're pretty lame.
They are, yeah.
So.
I used to have a bit where, like, you know what my secret weapon is? I return text messages.
Oh!
Yeah, you behave like an adult, and the women are blown away. So, yeah, but once I turned 50, it was interesting the first time I was saying, oh, it wouldn't be fair to be with this woman. She's too young. It just would not be fair to her.
Why not fair?
Because she needs to have... There was a woman I went on a date with, and she was 26, and she was very interested in me.
You were 50 at the time.
Yeah, I'm 51 now, so it was last year. Yeah. And I decided that she needs to do age 26 to age 30-year-old things. She needs to have that in her life. And I ain't going to do that. I'm not doing that shit. I'm too old and I'm too tired.
They want you to do things that are like, I don't want to go to the club. I don't
For New Year's, I got together with a
I know
you
I sound
say
old.
The club, man.
We like, they don't even call that anymore. Like, we don't even know what to call
it. The disco.
The discotheque.
I recently messed around with a woman.
Discotheque. Discotheque.
I was with someone who was 32, and after we were intimate, she said, it's for real, she said, that was great, I can't wait for round two, and I started laughing. I was like,
wait till
no,
Tuesday.
That's
your bit, right?
I said, you're going to be waiting a while.
No, you did not say that.
I was like, I'm fucking tired. So,
did you say round two is going to be next week?
God. I said, I'll give you a Hagler Hearns of a round one. She didn't get the reference.
So. Is that a cartoon?
A Hagler Hearns reference.
But I think that's a good thing.
I love Hearns. Oh.
But so you're 45, so you're dating women 20 years younger. What's your range?
I try to do early 30s.
All right, that's good. That's reasonable.
Yeah.
Because that sounds weird, but I want to have their own job, their own place, like to be adults.
Mm. Yeah, you can find that in New York City, though.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
Yeah, they are here.
So half your age plus 7. Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. Half your age plus 7?
And that's the
and
lowest you can go.
If they can do that math, that's Elon Altman's joke.
Whose joke is that?
Elon Altman.
Oh, that's a great joke.
That's
good.
Yeah. If they can
that's
do
fine.
That
that's
math.
That's right. I've heard that. I think he says if they do that math, they're too old for me.
Yeah.
I think it's like that.
I used to say for me, it was half my age plus two forms of ID. So if you're 45, so you've got a woman who's, we'll say 23 plus 7, so 30. So if you don't go, that's sounds totally reasonable. Yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds reasonable. But here's the problem. Him. He's the problem, nigga.
Yeah, it's not a math problem. It's more of an essay question.
There's too much going on. There's a lot going on in that brain. Yeah.
So
the
my personality.
Is the shell.
It's a facade.
The shell is fantastic.
It's a facade.
Ooh.
Okay.
I used to do a bit where it's like, women like a project. Yeah. And they seem like, maybe this old house could be my new spouse. Then they start dating me like, oh no, this is a major renovation. The wiring's all screwed up. Pipes are solid, but they're almost 50 years old. This whole stupid thing.
Good.
Yeah.
On the outside, it looks good, but inside, there's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on in there. Ooh.
So at what point in a relationship do you reveal you've had a...
A wife that passed away.
You have a tragic story. Second date?
Second date.
What if they ask you why you're not currently married? Do you just say my wife?
And do you bring it out when you think the date's going bad or the pussy, you might not get the pussy, so you're like, okay, now I got to bring out the big guns.
So
let
honestly,
me bring out the dead wife, see what that do for them.
I try to bring it out as soon as possible because if it's a deal breaker up front, let's just cut the chase. Mm. The disabled kid's the harder one, I think.
Yeah, why would the dead wife? The women love a dead wife. That's what they're looking for. She out the picture?
The problem.
Thank you.
And it shows
she ready.
And it shows that you could be domesticated.
I mean, I'm alive.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
and you're grieving, and oh, come here.
Yeah, you're like a hurt bird.
You want to love, but God took the love from you?
Yeah, it's rough.
Oh, thank you.
Gerard's trying to make me cry.
I'm trying to get you laid, nigga.
So, okay,
they
so
can
the
both happen. They can
if
both
somebody
happen.
Pulled out a dead wife story on you, wouldn't you feel more like, oh, when.
I will feel awe, yeah. But my girlfriend, who's dating a widow,
okay,
says it's very difficult because she died at the height of their love. You
how
know,
you
it's not like a divorce
woman.
Where right. he hates his ex-wife.
Right.
He's and she'll never compare to the ex-wife because
she's gone.
The memories are just gonna get better in your mind. You know how
right.
you forget the bad.
Yeah, you romanticize.
She rose-tinted memories. Oh, so she yeah. can never compare to her memory because the memory yeah. is gonna be immortalized. She's gonna be the
That's
perfect woman.
Did she get a jury?
Did she what?
Get her jury. Did the dead lady leave a little jury behind?
Oh, I don't know.
That she get to take, right? You get that.
She left
if
a
the kids
daughter,
don't take
too.
It,
why
your daughter?
So the daughter probably got the jewelry.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah,
see,
I
now
swear,
we know.
I heard you say jury.
I heard jury, too, yeah.
As if
the
she killed?
Jury?
Like jewelry.
Yeah. What's happening?
I have a friend. She's widowed, and she was divorced, and she was widowed. The guy had a heart attack, so it was sudden. And she told me, she said, in some ways, the being widowed was easier than being divorced because she said it. I don't have to worry about running into the motherfucker.
No.
Yes. Yes. Because
if she did, that would be a problem.
Yeah. Problem. Yeah.
More people would rather be fucking widowed than divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they usually want to kill the motherfucker.
But Justin made that point that
you
weren't
be divorced.
You weren't sick
you
of each other at that
sick
point.
Of people. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, because it's like now I got to have all. So I've got two kids, and now I got to have this conversation. It's like, why isn't mom here? Why didn't mom love me?
How old are the kids?
21, 22.
They still asking you those questions?
Yeah, but if your mom, if your mom kills herself, you're going to have like.
Oh, like that kind of,
That's a rough one, man.
Do you tell the girls that part of it? Like if you're on a date, you tell them that she killed herself?
I usually say, let's talk about it later.
No, that's
good.
Smart.
That's a good answer. That's smart.
And then you get back to kissing?
No. It's like, I think it's like only, so if they ask, were you ever married? Yeah.
Yeah.
Was you divorced? No, I'm actually technically widowed. Let's talk about that.
Technically
next
widowed.
Day.
Yeah, like drop that technically.
Yeah,
drop
that
what
technically.
Are you, a father in Connecticut who buried his wife somewhere we can't find?
Technically widowed. Okay, that sounds like you killed her.
That sounds like you killed her, correct.
Holy
That's why
mind.
You're not
who
getting white
you
women.
Killed somebody?
Well, you're talking about a technicality.
Technicality, yeah.
I saw Keith Morrison waiting outside for you. And he killed her.
Yeah.
Then
okay.
He throws his hair over.
I think, I don't know why I feel like I have any expertise in this.
I don't know. How are you giving me advice? What's happening over here?
Because I want to help, because I like you, and I want to see you, I want to see you do well, and I...
Get me on Celebrity Cruises.
we were talking about working the ships.
I work the worst one. He works the best one.
Oh, you can be the next date, Kate Beckinsale.
Wait, which one's the worst one?
I shouldn't say that.
Yeah, he probably shouldn't say it.
Okay.
But it's not Celebrity, which is the one I was lucky enough to work.
Okay, that's the good one.
It's interesting that on the ships, the paperwork, pretty much every other paragraph said, and don't fuck anybody.
Oh, really?
They had to remind you. Because if you could, every comic would want to be on the ships.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because you're on vacation. Everybody's on vacation.
Everybody's fucking. I did a cruise with John Mayer money. We did the Miracast Carrier, which is all fans.
Yeah.
And our cabins was sharing, fucking connected.
Did you just have to have like an IV the whole time?
All,
getting hydrated?
It was spectacular.
You're lucky to be alive.
I am. I can't even front. My oh my. The open seas.
Yeah, that's it's not, that it's was not like that for us.
But that wasn't like that for me either to that.
Yeah.
But it was all like that.
So what else did I want to ask you about that? Okay. So I think it's the issue of dating women in that early 30s demo and you're a dad. I think that's got to be tough.
Yes.
They want their own kids.
They want their own kids and they're not ready to be anybody's stepmom. I mean, even the idea is kind of frightening.
Yeah, but it's like... I mean, nobody would be the stepmom. The kids are adults, so they'd be their dad's.
That's true. Okay.
You'd be their dad's wife. You're not
right.
You're not living. Okay. Yeah.
So right.
My
son's were they?
Severely disabled. He lives in a facility. We turned 19.
Okay.
It was like a tough. My son's like severely disabled, and my daughter lives on her own. So like, I don't think either of them met ever somebody I've dated. Because it's like, I'm not really going to do something when it's like, like this girl
that.
I'm in love. Yeah.
That's a very different situation.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's how I would frame. Here's my advice for
somebody. Go
how to frame. It's a lot of fingerprint evidence. No, I think the way you could frame it to appeal to the women is like, you know what? I was married. We had a great relationship. We had these kids. I've been through some stuff. And you know what? The past couple of years, I really decided, hey, why not pursue my passion? So don't make it sound like I'm a comedian. I don't have any money. Like, they don't need an older guy for that. They can get a 20-year-old if they want that sob story. So it's kind of like,
No, wait, I get tired a lot, too.
You get tired from running after your passion. Tell them you're a heroin addict. That'll actually be more romantic. But you understand what I'm saying? Like, give it, make it sound like
the game stinks.
Women love this eat, pray, love shit. So make it sound like you're telling you're on a
journey.
A journey.
A one man's journey to discover himself. Why not?
To be the best version of yourself. And they don't know that means keep the lights on.
Or crashing on a friend's couch. They don't know that.
Someday I hope to have a futon. You don't tell them that.
It's going fine. I just signed a lease on 30th and 8th. I'm not like broke. It's just like, yeah. You know how it is. It's like comedy,
we said that white will pay off. Ain't nobody over here worried about you. Not financially. This is your country, nigga. You'll be all right.
Oh, that's funny.
30th and 8th.
This
that's
is my country.
Bad.
Ecuador's my country, but yeah.
There you go.
You think because he's white, he'll figure it out?
It'll figure it out for him. If they saw you laying on the street outside, motherfuckers will call on him. They would get you off the street. If I was laying on the street, they'd step over me and go to work. Motherfucker, you'll be all right.
Although, why?
Am I wrong?
No, Sherrod, I was on the train up here. A panhandler gets on. It's a white guy, and he says, anybody can give me anything. He goes the whole spiel. He goes, I've been up since 6 o'clock this morning looking for work. And you just hear this older black woman go, no, you ain't. You didn't even see. You just heard, no, you ain't.
No, you ain't.
That's funny.
I saw an Asian panhandler on a train before.
Where was this?
It was in New York City. I actually saw one.
I've seen one in my whole life in New York City.
We probably all saw the same
like,
one.
He was like an older dude, but a big beard.
Oh, I saw a young guy. I was like, dude, you're an embarrassment to my people.
It was a young dude?
That turns out he was just Irish and sleepy.
So what did you think?
I was like, look, there are two things Asian people don't do, beg and rap.
Wait, why is that?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Why is that? Is it like just cultural? The families take care of their poor? What's happening?
So in Singapore, the government does say that families should take care of their
people. Like
their
here,
people.
Why does it happen here?
I think it's because all the immigrants are so hardworking. Like you sacrifice a lot to move here.
Yeah, but it's never first generation. Oh, it's always like white people too. It's always like third, fourth generation.
Third, fourth, yeah. So the first generation will
pass
on.
The first generation comes and works their butts off.
And then
they
pass it on to their kids. The second generation is still pretty hardworking.
It's the third or fourth that are like,
right. Third or fourth, yeah.
But why is there never an Asian
But a lot of times the third or fourth make more income than the first generation.
They can, I'm just saying that.
Just by lollygagging. Because they got it so much easier because of those ass whoopings that came earlier. They're like, I saw that ass whooping. I ain't getting that ass whooping, so I'm all right.
They've had too many meals.
Guy, yep. Yeah.
They can afford to be a disappointment.
but even in their disappointment, they're still earning more than their fucking parents who slaved.
Yeah. But why do we never see an Asian person homeless in New York? Why is
I think
In New York, you got to go down to Chinatown. I think
If I see an Asian panhandler, I give them the benefit of the doubt, and I think they must be really mentally ill.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that, you know, that just doesn't happen that way.
It's more in San Fran. You see more in San Francisco. Yeah.
Oh, you see Asian panhandlers in San Francisco? I haven't seen one.
It's very diverse.
Look how fucking you just attacked me on that like that. I haven't seen one. Where have you seen
it?
What street was it on? What time of the day?
Were they in the Tenderloin? You know, I went to the Tenderloin. I thought it was going to be like the meat packing. I was like, oh, this is going to be cool.
Yeah. It was Oakland when I saw him, but it was still San Francisco.
Yeah,
Oakland.
The Bay.
All right, so there are two in this country.
That's the only two I've seen.
The one I saw.
But the dude I saw in New York, I think he was like, he definitely had some mental shit going on. But he had a big ass beard, like it was a thing. Like everybody knew him, but he was a homeless dude.
No, but most homeless people, it's a mental thing. It's not a laziness thing. Yeah.
Yeah, because you don't look at that guy. You don't look at him and think, get a job.
No, I'm like this. He needs a psychiatrist.
Yeah, he needs
bilingual psychiatrist.
Bilingual psychiatrist.
Psychiatrist, at least with subtitles.
Because he's crazy in a few languages.
Yeah. And when we talk to a shrink, like the words don't line up with the dubbing, so it's very confusing.
Plus, you know, when you see Asians too, they'll live 8, 9 in a one bedroom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hispanics
that's not
too.
Front. I lived on me and Rachel's first spot on me and Rachel Feinstein lived together for 8 years.
Oh, you did?
And we had our first neighbors across the hall when we first moved in the building was like 6 Asian dudes, all 80 pounds. Yeah,
80 pounds.
And they all lived in there. They left the door open. They always had their underwear on inside. And walking around in underwear.
Oh,
I was like,
God, it's
and Robbie, like, Rachel, you feel scared of them? She's like, I can beat that whole apartment. I'll be in there braiding their hair by the time. But it was like 6, and they always rotated too. So it was like they wasn't always the same dude. So they would rent it out. Somebody else would come in.
It's like a barracks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Hispanics do that too. Hispanics do that too. Yeah.
But downtown in Chinatown, that's all it used to be.
Yeah.
It was all that, all those top floors was just packed with their motherfuckers standing there, even downstairs. Then they moved to Flushing, Queens, and so it's like different
they're
areas.
Flushing,
but
Flushing is like gotta, super Chinese.
You got to go where they live to see the homeless.
Right.
They're not going to be homeless in fucking Midtown.
Yeah, they can't swing it.
They're going to be, they'll be homeless in their neighborhood because they can work at a grocery store in the back or fucking do something, some right. odd job and that's get some food, you yeah. know what I'm saying? Or sleep in a basement there.
Yeah.
So.
You're right, because someone could say, look, we'll give you a broom, push it around, we'll right. you get lunch.
And you get to sleep in the basement or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So you got to go where they are. But but everybody ain't got a address and shit.
Yeah.
Homeless is a different kind of homeless, but they still got it, but it's a different thing.
Yeah, because think about it. In American culture, like, we don't even take care of our old people. Yeah. We're going to hook up our crazy relatives. We take the loss on them. It's awful, right?
Write them off.
Right? Yeah, we do. We don't have a society where you are excited that your grandmother and your uncles live in the same house or the same neighborhood. You're like, get me away from these people.
But the thing is, the mental illness is fucking creeping up on the younger kids quicker than it's creeping up on older people.
Yeah.
They saying like the fucking, even kids in the college right now, like 9% up from...
Well, they're all depressed.
All depressed. Depression doubled in 9 years. Yeah. Under a decade, it doubled on college campuses. Yeah. Like, what is that? Suicide is the number one young people death in America.
You know they need Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. And he started this whole thing.
He started this whole thing.
I got these pamphlets with me. Hold on.
You ever think of starting a cult? I think you'd be good at it.
He got some David Koresh.
A little bit.
I've got the face for it. Yeah, sure.
And you'll get so many women as a cult leader.
I'm telling you.
This took a weird turn. I'm going to be honest.
You're not using your powers. Your sweet white powers.
Your sweet white powers.
Nigga, you should have had a church down in Ecuador. El Salvador.
It's so funny. Strange the way we see your life. Like, man, if I were widowed, I'd be drowning in pussy. Like, I don't really know if that's the
I think your
that's
church
not the answer.
Stop.
Yeah.
His white church gonna stop MS-13.
Good.
MS-13's a thing, yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. Definitely in El Salvador, your homeland.
Yeah, I have a joke that when I moved to the Bronx, my buddy's like, you're not scared to live in the Bronx? I'm like, listen, I grew up in the 80s in El Salvador, which is like growing up now. In El Salvador.
That's really funny.
It's always like the murder capital of the world forever. It's insane.
Forever. So what's coming up with you? How long are you going to be in New York City?
I'm here until Sunday. I leave on Sunday.
Back to?
Singapore. Yep. And I do a little tour of Asia, Singapore, Malaysia, Vietnam. I'm doing Vietnam for the first time.
Tell Alice I said hi. I have a friend there named Alice. Thanks, guys.
You know, Alice.
Alice Lee. She's cool.
Alice Lee. Okay. And then I go straight to the West Coast from there.
How long are you going to be out in Asia?
Asia, 6 weeks.
6 weeks. That's a nice long trip.
Mm-hmm. It's Chinese New Year. I'll get some money. As a single woman, I get money.
What do you mean as a single woman, you get money?
Oh, yeah. For Chinese New Year, if you're not married, you get money. Why do you think I'm so fucking single?
I didn't know that was the rules.
That is the rule.
What?
Yep. So you can be married, get divorced, and if your kids are married, now they have to give you money.
Really?
Yeah. Married people give single people money.
Wow.
What?
Isn't that crazy?
For your sadness.
See?
For your sadness. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's where their society holds together.
Yes, I like that.
They take care of the single folks.
We're all single.
Yeah, they do. They encourage bonds like that.
That's fine. I never knew.
But it's almost like a penalty. Like they're penalizing married people. No?
Yeah, for their love. It's like, fuck you with your love. Give me $10. You in love, ain't you?
Okay, it was supposed to be for kids, but then as long as you're single as an adult, you still get the red packet with the money.
Right.
So I think...
We got that as kids. We got money for New Year's Eve.
Oh, you did?
But it wasn't for... it wasn't like a single or married thing.
Only married people have the gift.
But I guess... Money. Yeah, but everybody gave us
but
money.
You were single at the time, so...
Yeah. Right.
I was dating a Tonka truck back then.
I definitely feel a little embarrassed, though, still accepting money, because, I mean, I don't... Want the
shut up,
money.
Shut up. No, un-American thing I've ever heard you say in your life. Shut up. I don't want the money.
I don't want the money.
Want to hit you. You ain't got to want money. Just take it.
We don't need comedians
I don't want it because
shame.
Of the status, yeah, right? Like, they're giving it to me because I'm still fucking single. It's like embarrassing at this point.
Oh, they're rubbing it in your face.
You're rubbing it in my face. Right. Yeah, like you single
you need
bitch.
This because you're sad.
Yeah. Now go
like,
buy
yes,
some candy.
Like, thank you.
I know. I still haven't heard anything I disagree with.
I would take all that shit.
Big time.
Fucking money. What's coming up for you?
Where
can people find you, too? Tell me your
I'm
website.
I'm here until the 25th. Then I've got a cruise out of Hawaii. Then I'm in Australia February 6th through the 25th, mostly Sydney Comedy Store.
Well, take a water with you, nigga, because they
Tasmania.
Need...
Yeah,
put on a fire.
I messaged them like, "Is this still happening?" They're like, "Yeah, it's not that bad." So I'm like, "All right,
it's that bad." The air quality.
I don't know.
Is...
That's
Did you see with the tennis players falling down, coughing?
I know.
The air quality is stinky.
Well, our shows are mostly inside, but
well, Melbourne still the tennis was inside. Some of that
was it.
Some of those facilities.
I thought it was outdoors,
but it's all air. You still got to get there.
Yeah, they said it's still happening.
Yes. Did you leave your Instagram?
Oh, yeah, my Instagram is Jocelyn Comedy, Jocelyn Comedy. Thank
yes.
you.
Thanks, Joss.
This was super
You're
fun,
great.
Guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'll see you soon.
Great to see you.
Thanks for coming on.
Good luck with the white women.
I'm fine.
You could be talking to any of us.
Yeah, that could be the name for the show right there.
Good luck with the white women. So,
check me out, Kirk Smith Comedy on all your social media. I'm really doing Instagram mostly, but yeah, it's all the same.
Boom. Jojo?
JoeDeVito.com for my schedule. I'm in State College, Pennsylvania this weekend at Wisecrackers, and I got crackers, a lot of crackers stuff coming up.
Crackers
in Indiana next week, Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase at the end of the month. If you go to @JoeDeVitoComedy on Instagram and Twitter, and I put up a lot of content, a lot of jokes on Twitter, so check it out.
Nice! This is a good episode. Fun episode. Don't forget, this Sunday, January 19th, 8 p.m. and 10 p.m., we got the holiday weekend shows. It's MLK weekend. Got a butter show. It's me, Nikki Glazer, Keith Robinson, Cypher Sounds doing the music, Dominica Saunders, Sam J, Dan Natterman, and Greer Barnes. Oh, that's a fire show. So make sure you go to The Stand, New York City. .com, thestandnyc.com, and get your tickets. That's this Sunday, January 19th, baby. It's going to be a butter show. Yamanika, Sam J, Dan Natterman, Grail Barnes, Keith Robinson, Nikki Glazer, and yours truly, and Cypher Sound doing the music. The Stand Union Square. Go to thestandnyc.com. Fun times, Race Wars, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Matt, we still doing it, Matt. Doing it big time, baby! Peace.